Welcome to Brunch with the Buds, where best friends dish on what's good. Brought to you by KentuckyTasteBuds.com. That's KYTasteBuds.com. Now, here are the Kentucky Taste Buds, Tamara and Lee.
Hey guys, welcome to Brunch with the Buds, where two best friends talk about everything good in Kentucky, from food, fashion, events, and people. My name is Lee Roach, and I'm here with my best friend, Tamara Snyder. Say hello, Tamara.
Hi.
She's laughing at me because I've been to the lake, and I just drove back into town. Thank God I had time for a shower because
yes.
I'm 2 days dirty.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. So I'm a little out of it.
Yeah. That's
yes,
okay.
Thank God you brought me an L8.
Yes.
Yes. It's going to liven it up.
Well, I think it just adds to the upbeat tempo of our show if we're all properly caffeinated.
Yes. I agree. And we also have with us our millennial producer. We've got to come up with a better name with that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's your job. You always have the good segues and the nicknames. So
yeah. Well, you usually just have to wait to get a little vibe with you and then you start to inherit one. And millennial's been sticking.
Yeah.
But we also have something we're going to introduce at the end of the show, which I'm very excited about. So this may be your new name when we get to that part.
Oh, you're gonna keep it close.
Everybody
to the
stay tuned because this is like just breaking news.
They're on the edge
It'll
of
be
their
exciting.
Seats.
Yes. Yes. Well, yesterday we celebrated Kentucky's 227th birthday.
Happy birthday.
It was the day we became the 15th state in the Union. To this day, we are defining and redefining who we are as a state, which is why we're calling this show Shrimp Pimpin' in Kentucky. I am so proud of that name. Tamara, you're like a little more conservative than
I am. It's a little cringy.
Yeah. Well, why don't you explain what Shrimp Pimpin' in Kentucky is all about today?
Okay. Well, we love it when we come across a person that is doing something really unique in our state. And when you find somebody that's making a product that you had no idea could be manufactured, processed, raised, whatever, in the state, it's just really exciting. So with us today, our guest is Jason Whitus. He has a farm called Rolling Blue Farm, LLC, and they raise shrimp. Okay? So
this is unbelievable.
It is
right
so
here
exciting.
In Kentucky.
You wouldn't think that you could get really good quality, and it's freshwater shrimp. No, it's not. But speak into the microphone, Jason.
He's correcting her silently with those eyes.
He's like shaking his head.
Educate me.
It's saltwater shrimp. It's actual saltwater shrimp
okay.
We're raising right here in Kentucky.
Well, that makes it even more unique and fantastic.
Yes.
So, okay, awesome. So mm-hmm. We're really excited that you're here today. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Yep. And so let's just dive right in and get started. Usually we want to get a little background on people. Mm-hmm. I know you from church, mm-hmm. But until 2 weeks ago, I'd never talked to you before in my life. Because we go to a big
church. That's
church. Yeah. It's a big church.
Yes, yes.
Lots of people. So
yes.
If you're just
yeah,
doing
no, it
your
is
same
huge.
Thing, you don't run into the same people. So I had the fortune of running into him and talking to him, and he was telling me about this business that he has. I was like, oh, we got to have you on the show.
And I've got to ask him, since he goes to the same church as you, is this show's title, Shrimp Pimping in Kentucky, is that cringy for you as well?
I've got a shirt that says shrimping ain't easy. So
okay.
Oh,
yeah.
I
yeah.
like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just dive right in. Tell us, where are you from and a little bit about your background?
I'm originally from Somerset, Kentucky. Came up to Lexington to go to UK, graduated from UK, and found that Lexington was my home. So.
And I love this because I was just talking to Jason before you got here. I just came from Somerset.
You did.
And on Lake Nancy, and you said Lake Cumberland mm-hmm. in Nancy, and you said you're very familiar with that lake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I grew up on that lake. My grandparents had a cottage business right there on the lake. And so I'm very familiar with the area. So I was raised in Burnside, so a little further south than Nancy. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good town to grow up in and really enjoyed my time there and, you know, go back regularly. My parents have a houseboat, so I try to make it out there as well I can. But
heck yeah.
Yeah. So I enjoy the lake, but, you know, I like what Lexington has to offer up here. So I've been really fortunate to, you know, get established up here and really enjoy this area.
Good. Now, when you started here in Lexington, you what was your job?
Right out of high school, right out of college, I started as a landscape manager for a local horse farm.
Oh, okay.
Out on Old Frankfort Pike. I did that for about 8 or 9 years and then left there to start my own business. I had a landscape business for another 6 or 8 years. And but doing that, I was able to get in touch with some farmers and started to acquire land, you know, lease some land here in Lexington to start raising vegetables on. So we've been raising vegetables here in Lexington for the last 6-8 years and wanted to find something that we could also do year-round. So mm-hmm. the veggies is seasonal. And so I started looking into the shrimp operation and found that in Indiana and some northern states, they were producing shrimp indoors. And so I felt like if they could do it up there in the northern states like that, then we could make it work here. So.
Okay. Now, that was a really fast summary of what you've done here. Mm-hmm. So let's back up just a second. How do you go from being a landscape guy to mm-hmm. going, I want to start growing my own vegetables, mm-hmm. but not just have a little container garden, because that's very common. People mm-hmm. have little container gardens, mm-hmm. but to want to, you know, buy large pieces of land and do it on a large scale.
Well, the vegetable production was my primary background when I came up here to UK.
So. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you grew up farming?
I didn't start farming until my senior year of high school.
Okay.
The summer there, I went and worked for a friend of mine from church, so another uh-huh. connection I made through church.
Yeah,
but they, you know, fell in love with the farming, and so I came up to UK to study horticulture and focused
okay.
on that.
Okay, so that was your degree mm-hmm. in
yes.
horticulture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you have a farm. Mm-hmm. I think you told me it was a 20-acre farm.
Yeah, we have a 20-acre farm. It's right across the creek from the horse farm that I managed there for 8 or 9 years, and so on Town Branch, and so we're on Yarnelton.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Right next to the Dukes of Hazzard railroad tracks, you know, so.
Why do they call it that?
Yeah.
That's because they're the steep railroad tracks right there on Yarnelton.
so if you go really fast, you can yeah. catch some air? And...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You're
surprised how many cars you hear, you know.
But you never do that.
No, me never, no.
Yes,
never.
Yeah. No. Never, yeah. Okay, so when you're raising this farm and you have all this produce, mm-hmm. you start selling it at the local farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And do you sell anywhere else? Is that it?
We sell a lot to several restaurants and some wholesalers in town. I work with several CSA programs to help keep their veggies supplied. Also with the shrimp, we're doing that as well, working with some CSA programs. But primarily, you know, majority of it, of our products move through the Lexington Farmers Market.
Yeah, it's such a big operation, yeah. and that thing has been around for hundreds of years, mm-hmm. The Farmers Market. It's such a great place. Lee and I have been down there several times, and you can find such a wide variety of things. Mm-hmm. I love it. And now you can get shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be back down there to get some more shrimp. Fortunately for us, you did bring us some today for we're going to cook them up.
They're gigantic.
Right. Yeah, they're huge. They're huge. Okay, so tell us about your operation and how it works. How do you produce shrimp here in landlocked Kentucky?
Well, inside of our barn, I took and enclosed an old tobacco barn and insulated it, and we have 9 swimming pools inside this insulated room. That these swimming pools hold about 4,500 gallons of water each, and
that's your typical swimming pool, like yes. above ground pool mm-hmm. that you would find yeah. in someone's backyard.
Yeah. Ordered it off Amazon, and so, you know.
You can get anything
yeah,
off Amazon.
Yeah, and so we set these pools up, and then the only thing we add to our water is we add salt to the water, get to the salinity level that we need it to be, and then we order the babies in out of Florida. They're overnighted to us, we get 30,000 of them at a time.
What do they come in? How does that package?
Yeah. It comes in a package about the size of an igloo cooler
uh-huh.
and 2 bags with 15,000 shrimp in each one of them.
Oh, so, my yeah. Do you count them? Do you count your inventory?
Just round it up.
Yeah, just take their word for it.
We kind of do a random sample. You know, there is a process to make sure that you yeah. do have enough shrimp, you know, that you got all the shrimp that you ordered. So,
yeah.
So we do have a process we go through mm-hmm. to, you know, kind of get an average and make sure mm-hmm. that we have them. And then they're very fragile at that stage. So,
oh, I bet.
Know, yeah, it's
temperature
a,
affects mm-hmm, them, I'm mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, we have to monitor temperature, pH of the water, salinity levels, and the amount of feed going in. So there's a lot to, you know, get them acclimated to our system.
Yeah. And, what do they eat?
They get a soybean vegetable or a fish oil fish meal product that comes out of Pennsylvania. So a company that specializes just in shrimp feed.
Uh-huh.
And so they
is it like little pellets or?
It's it starts out as a meal, kind of. It's a real fine powder.
Oh, okay.
Because the different level of shrimp. Their mouths are different sizes. So uh-huh. as they grow, the feed gets bigger.
Oh wow!
So do you start with a clean tank and then put in 15,000 at a time? Mm-hmm. And so nothing else can be in there with them.
Different okay. stages. They mm-hmm. have to all be the same stage.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We start with a nursery tank. So the nursery tank gets all 30,000 babies in that at one time. So, and then we have four, that'll go out to four grow out tanks from there. So the 30,000 babies, we'll split them up. We shoot for about an 80% survival rate.
Okay.
And then that allows us to move about 5,000 or 6,000 shrimp out to each of our grow out tanks, which equates to about 200 pounds of shrimp each tank when we go to harvest.
Wow. So the grow out tanks get bigger and bigger? Is that what that means?
The grow out tank is when the shrimp will get bigger and bigger. We grow, you know, when we get them, they're about the size of what, you know, looks like a mosquito larvae. You know, they're
itty bitty. Yeah.
They're very itty bitty. And we grow them up to about a gram, which is about an inch in length. But the weight of them is about a gram. And then once they reach that gram, then we'll move them out in the 5,000 or 6,000 of them at a time into the grow out tank. And they'll stay in that tank until they reach 25 grams, which equates to about 16-20 count per pound of shrimp. So 16 to 20 shrimp in a pound.
How do you transport them?
I was about to ask
What do you think of that, Curtis?
We can just dip them out. So we dip
with
them out.
With a big net?
Yeah, with a big net. Yeah, we just take a net amount, and we'll take an average of the weight so that we can get an idea of how much it takes, you know, to get to the 5,000 or 6,000 shrimp that we need. And then we just move them, you know. So the, you know, the salinity levels and all that, we match up the tank of the nursery tank to the grow out tank. So that really they don't have any, feel like it's any different, you know. They're just, you know, you move them and they're already acclimated to that water.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You just have to keep everything the same temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's like the length of time from baby stage to stage one to?
We're at from the time we get the babies to we start moving product is about 4 months.
Really? Okay. That mm-hmm. long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why we try to stage them out. So we, I'll get a, you know, one batch of babies in and do four tanks. And then about a month later, every month, I'm trying to order a new batch in. So
right.
Keep the shrimp at different stages.
That is so fascinating. And how did you learn how to do this?
Trial and error.
I was just getting ready to ask, is there a lot of trial and error involved?
Been a little bit, yes, yeah. It's a relatively new system throughout the nation. So, uh-huh. You know, I was surprised when talking with my feed supplier, there are about 150 of these small operations in the United States.
Really?
And, you know, that was surprising to me. But here, you know, I was, you know, the first private one here in Kentucky. There's two more that have come on since I've started. But it's a growing trend. We had a conference here back in September, and there was close to 200 people with interest in shrimp.
Wow.
Farming.
Yeah. It's such an interesting thing. And this is something that you, Jason, and I talked about when we were at church. He was telling me about this. It's like, you know, we think the American farmer is a dying breed, and pretty much the small-time farmer is. Did you know that the farmers have one of the highest suicide rates of any occupation?
I'm aware of that, yes.
Yeah, wow. I read that this week in preparation for this, and I was like, wow, that's staggering. So for you to choose to go into that and want to do that, but then realizing you can't really just focus on one thing. Mm-hmm. You have to have something else to go along with that, to supplement that mm-hmm. income. And so for you to be able to pinpoint, oh, shrimp. Mm-hmm. You know, that's amazing to me. And I think it shows that you have a lot of foresight, obviously a lot of ambition and get up and go, and which, you know, Kentuckians are known for their ambition and their drive and their ability to get things done. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
It's so exciting. Now, what are the benefits of getting your shrimp versus the shrimp that I can go to Kroger and pick up?
Well, you know, it's local, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's you know, the advantage to that. I mean, our shrimp are when we bring them to the market and we harvest them that morning, and so they're fresh, never frozen. We you know, when you get the shrimp, it's as fresh as you can get, like it came off the boat. And so, you know, that's a big advantage, because, you know, as each stage of the frozen type, you lose a lot of quality in your product. So
yeah,
the that's the people that are customers at the Lexington Farmers Market, you know, have come back and just said, I can't believe how good these, you know, the taste of these shrimp are. You know, they're mm-hmm. very excited about the flavor. And because we're not used to that freshness here in the state of Kentucky, everything comes in primarily frozen.
Yeah. That's so interesting. And I went to a shrimp boil last night, as a matter of fact. I have really good friends, John and Holly Reynolds. They're from New Orleans. They know their shrimp. Mm-hmm. Her father came up, and he actually brought shrimp with him from the Gulf. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they didn't survive the trip.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And so John and Holly were scrambling yesterday to get some more shrimp for mm-hmm. this shrimp boil mm-hmm. that they put on. And so they ended up going to, I think, Lexington Seafood mm-hmm. and getting some, but they paid an arm and a leg for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure where that was sourced. Mm-hmm. And I used to be, and this is kind of sad, but I was always the person, I didn't really care where my food came from. But now I'm getting more into the movement of you are what you eat, so you should probably know where you get your food from. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at seafood, especially, you know, people will say you shouldn't get the shrimp from overseas because mm-hmm. you don't know how it's being grown. And a lot of it is farm raised, mm-hmm. but not in a good way.
I've read that they use a lot of enhancements or something to yeah. kind of expedite the process. Mm-hmm. And it's
a lot of antibiotics, a lot of, you know, a lot of chemical processes are added to that to help to, you know, they stock at real high rates so that to keep their shrimp healthy, they have to add those additives. So, yeah.
And dirty.
It is, yeah. Yeah. A lot of them are in dirty situations, yeah.
Yeah. So you keep your tanks clean.
That's right.
How do you do that?
Well, the shrimp are the biggest, you know, they help out with that the most. You know, I mean, they pick on everything. They're scavengers. They keep the tanks clean, yeah. And then in between our harvest, we'll clean up any, you know, any of the tanks in between in between crops, yes.
Do you ever swim with them? Do you ever get in and pet them or anything?
No, I haven't got in with them.
You might start a new beauty trend, yeah, how they have
that. Would they start sucking on you, your skin and exfoliating your skin?
I'll check into that.
You need to check into that. I think that
you could have
be...
like a little spa on the side.
Yeah.
Spa job.
Yeah. That, you know, it's already like a little sauna in there.
Yeah.
You know,
I bet.
What's the temperature in the barn?
We maintain the water temperature about 85 degrees.
Okay.
So we just heat the water and the temps. But that, you know, creates a humidity in the barn that, you know, keeps it nice and toasty and warm.
Yeah, good and wet. Yeah. Eesh, moist. I don't like that. Okay. So where do you sell your shrimp?
Primarily, we're right now at the Lexington Farmers Market. We do offer people can come to our farm and we'll harvest them right there. You know, they can make contact me and, you know, schedule a time and we can more than welcome for them to come out and see our operation and get some shrimp.
Oh, that'd be fun to go out and actually see it.
I know. It would be interesting to see a bunch of shrimp. I've never seen them out in the wild.
I know. You could even charge extra. It could be like agritourism. I mean, Jason, we're helping you out here. Yeah. This is going to be big. Now, what is your favorite way to eat shrimp?
My favorite way is just to saute them and a little bit of garlic and butter.
Oh, yeah.
That just quick and easy. That's what I like about this product. I can... As I'm heading home, I'll dip a few out, and I go home. I just have to melt a little butter and throw it on the pan there, and they're ready to go.
So and they cook quickly.
They do, yes, yeah.
What, 3 to 4 minutes each side?
So the ones you brought us today that we're going to try that we're excited, we've got to cook them, so we won't try them today. But they have, like, the eyes and the legs and all that. Do you prepare them different ways for different markets, or is that how they always come?
That's for us.
Heads on,
yeah. Yeah, I recommend, you know, we're not used to having the head on here in Lexington, in Kentucky, because, you know, when they're frozen, the head won't survive. So they, but cooking with the head on adds a lot of extra flavor.
Okay.
And once it's cooked, it's real easy to remove the head.
And then some people that are really brave, I say, they will suck the head.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
I haven't ventured into that yet.
Okay.
I thought that was crawfish.
Yeah.
Well, but crawfish, it's the same. Are these called interchangeably crawfish and shrimp or no? They're totally different species.
Crawfish are different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Oh, Curtis knows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're
genius. I used to catch crawfish all the time.
Yeah, crawdad hunting.
They're more like a lobster, I would say.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they have two little. Okay,
but,
I'm sorry.
But people will fry the heads of the shrimp.
You know,
there's some restaurants you'll go, you'll see where the. where the tail of the shrimp has been sauteed or you know, and then the head of shrimp, they'll fry it after they've done that. So
okay.
And I had one customer came by and she bought 10 pounds and she was all excited because she said, you know, we like to, we'll fry the heads up.
So really?
Yeah.
Now what's the going rate per pound? Does it vary based on?
Well, we market ours at $16 a pound.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Are you allowed to say which restaurants you sell to?
A lot of shrimp
in town.
He works at Malone's.
maybe you got a hookup.
Maybe we can do a connection here.
I've the castle on Versailles Road.
Good enough for the castle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good enough for anyone.
Yeah, they've been real excited about it. We're partner went up with them this in August there. They're with Farm Bureau. Mm-hmm. We're going to be focusing on having the shrimp for the farm to table event there this in August.
That'd be so nice.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that.
Yeah.
And Dudley's has taken a few of my shrimp and
tried
them out. Oh, we love Dudley's.
Chef Mark.
Yeah, Chef Mark's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He is amazing in the kitchen for sure. So I'm sure he could whip those shrimp up into some delicious concoction in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
I have one more question. Is that okay?
Yeah.
How many pounds does 15,000 babies make, do you know? Or what's it supposed
to? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, 15,000, we get about 30,000 in at a time. So one crop starts out at 30,000. And so then four tanks holds about 200 pounds each. So we'll get about 800 pounds of shrimp from one batch of babies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what are your biggest obstacles?
Maintain the water quality. Mm-hmm. And so we have to... we can't just go and just throw feed in the tanks. You know, we have to measure the feed, and then we're constantly monitoring the water quality to make sure that not extra feed is building up or in the tanks. So it's
just a constant balancing act.
Yeah, it is. It's water farming is a lot different than dirt farming. So that's been the major learning curve. You know what affects water, and what you need to do to correct it.
Okay.
But you can produce it year round.
I can.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you eat shrimp all the time?
Every day.
I like to. Yes. Yeah. I'm a big shrimp fan.
Yeah. Because they're low in fat, but they are high in cholesterol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watch your cholesterol now.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to watch that. Yep. Well, this has just been such a fascinating conversation, and so I'm sure I encourage everyone to go to your website. You have a website, mm-hmm. right? What is the name?
It's a rollingbluefarm.com.
Okay. How did you come up with your name?
Well, I wanted to incorporate the rolling hills of the bluegrass.
Oh, nice.
With the rolling tide of the ocean.
Yes, so, I love it.
Don't you love
that? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, she's a graphic designer.
And it's very UK-ish.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Go Cats.
Mm-hmm. Go Cats.
Love that.
You bleed blue, right?
Oh yeah. Okay. I already confirmed that before started the interview.
I don't think he'd be on the show if he didn't.
Great. All right. Well, thank you, Jason, much for coming in. And I just would, encourage everyone to get out to Lexington Farmers Market, pick up some of these shrimp for yourself. We're going to be cooking these that he gave us.
And by we mean Tamara, because she's the cook.
I'll cook these up and report back, so stay tuned.
Oh, just invite me over. I'll come eat them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just need you to do all the cooking.
I'll do it. All right. Thanks, Jason.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. That was a great conversation with Jason Whitus about the shrimp. Salt water, not fresh water.
I was
wrong on that.
Well, I can see why you would assume. I mean, we're not living by oceans.
Yeah, I know. So I had no idea. But great. Okay, well, let's move right along. You know, we were talking about eating shrimp, which is one of our favorite things to do. We both like shrimp, right, Lee?
Yes, I love
Curtis,
shrimp.
Do you like shrimp?
Oh, yeah. If it's fresh seafood, I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I love shrimp cocktail.
Yes. Yeah, my son loves that. But it depends on, you know, how it's served. I know you're not a fan of peeling it.
I don't want to have to do anything to my critters.
You
want to
just
eat them.
Pop it in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Curtis? Are you
I prefer them cooked. And I'm not a big on shrimp cocktail.
Okay.
But if they're like any kind of cooked, you know, grilled, sauteed, fried, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it got us thinking about what are the worst foods to eat on a date? Okay. So we did a Twitter poll, which we love to do Twitter polls. And so these were some of the top answers. See if you agree. Ribs.
Hold on. This is not this. Huh?
Yeah.
Worst a Twitter foods, poll.
It wasn't a Twitter?
No. We got it off ranker.com.
Oh, according to ranker.com.
Yes.
And then we had Twitter people comment.
Yes.
I'm with it now. All
yes.
right.
Sorry, I didn't
All
mean
right.
to call you out, but I was like,
yeah, no, that makes
disoriented
sense.
There for a minute.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I gave you the look that he gave you when you said freshwater.
Yeah. I was like, that's twice I've been wrong
Thanks
today.
For joining us today, Sam.
I need to drink more ALA. Okay. So ranker.com listed these as the top worst foods to eat on a date. Number one, ribs. I agree.
Totally agree.
Shellfish. So that includes lobster, shrimp, and crab.
Yes.
You don't be crack-a-lackin'.
I hate eating crab.
It's a lot of work.
The shell.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. Chicken wings.
I don't want to eat chicken wings on a date.
Yeah. Nachos. Now, I don't see what could possibly be wrong with nachos.
Well, no, here's the thing. So my first date with Stevie J, he invited me to Mexican. That is not an ideal date.
Why?
Because I don't like dipping. So much can go wrong when you dip your chip into the salsa.
Only if they double dip.
Well, they could double dip.
Well, they
could,
do that, then
your
you
chip breaks off in there, and then you're trying to like get it out, or you sling salsa on you. And then have you ever tried to eat a taco or a burrito on a date? I mean,
well,
it's nasty
that's
business.
I can see how that could go south. Yeah. Okay, chili dogs. Yes, that probably
for various reasons.
Right, chili dogs, burritos. For the same reason you just said. Yeah. Spaghetti. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Corn on the cob. Yes. I love corn on the cob, but I don't want to see anybody eating corn on the cob ever.
Curtis, what do you think? You're
awfully
quiet.
This just must be a man's perspective. I've never even thought about what I ate
you
on
don't,
a date. I don't care.
Really? Because you're a man.
Well, I mean, for me, maybe if I saw a lady do something, it might
change. Well, what
if
you saw her eating corn on the cob and just, like, checking it down like a little woodchucker?
I like corn on the cob, so I get it. You know, you get yours. It's okay.
You get yours. Okay.
as long as they don't touch yours.
Yeah,
I remember
just,
this.
I will buy your own corn on the cob. Yeah. I'll get yours.
You don't want to share?
No,
remember, he
not.
Doesn't like people to touch
I
his food.
I remember. Yeah. Sushi. I don't think there's anything wrong with sushi.
Well,
eating.
I can't do the chopsticks.
Okay, well, you could use a fork if you had to.
They have the little kitty learners, too. You can practice.
Oh, they do, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
So, you have the kitty version.
Yes, I could see that on my first date. Yes, I'll take the kitty utensils, please.
And then number 10 was anything garlic. But I'm of the mindset, if you both eat the garlic, then it doesn't matter.
Well, I know you are very strongly opinionated about smells. You do not like an onion smell or a garlic smell.
Well.
So you're telling me on the first date you would be munching on some garlic?
I probably wouldn't on a first date.
Yeah.
No, but again, I think if you both eat it, then it kind of diminishes.
I think
that.
No matter what I eat on my first date, it's going to be followed up with a mint or three.
Well, let's hope so.
Yes, because I mean, I'm all about the mint.
And a trip to the bathroom to make sure that you don't have something stuck in your teeth.
It depends on where the first date's going,
something
right?
Else.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, any first date I've ever been on, I don't think I've ever kissed a girl on the very first date.
Well, good really?
For
you.
So if
good
it's for
you.
If there's girl, I don't.
Yeah, it won't matter.
We're not going to be that close.
Aww, you know, he's a gentleman.
You're a gentleman.
Yeah. I like that.
Date one is just if I know you. Maybe date two.
Ooh, okay. He's plays hard
I said
to get.
I said maybe.
Do they
though.
Make them kiss you first, don't you?
Oh, I think I've always made the move in a new relationship.
Yeah.
But like very subtly. But yeah.
Right. And not on the first date.
Curtis has got the moves.
I like
Jagger.
It's been a long time, though. I haven't been on the first date in 8 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah. Okay. So Lee's going to read off some what of our Twitter followers said, because this is very entertaining.
Okay. Well, I love this. Josh Hurt from Kentucky Sports Guys, who we just absolutely love, said, here's the thing. Quote. Going off the board and saying, pick the messiest food you can and see what you've got. If the other person can't handle wing sauce all over your face, it ain't going to work anyway. So the worst choice would be a safe choice. Tells you nothing.
Oh, so he says just go for it.
Just go for it. Be messy and see what happens.
And if they can't handle it.
And we would never date again.
Yes.
If I looked over and a guy has wing sauce all over his face on our first date, I'm like, he's not trying to make a good impression.
Yeah. I
don't know. Put your best foot forward for me on the first date. I promise to do the same.
Yes. And or at least you can mitigate that by having really good table manners.
I don't
know.
Sauce all over the face. I'm
you can
not.
Get, well, if you had really good table manners, you wouldn't end up with sauce all over your face because you would wipe it properly.
Yeah, but that's not what he says. He said, get it all over your
face.
Yeah,
he says, I'm not a fan of that, no. Josh. Sorry.
What does anybody else say? Happily married, Josh.
Yes.
Okay. Tom Irvin, which is one of our favorites, said, I would just be happy if the lady was eating anything other than crackers and water. Because you know how the girls are like, oh, I'll just take crackers and water because they don't want to eat anything. Yeah. He wants to see a real lady eat.
Yes. And I got over that a long time ago. I know when I was first dating, I would always just get, I'll just have a salad.
Yeah.
But then I learned
salads
are hard to eat. Because especially a spinach salad, and this is the one I would say that is not on our list that I would never eat on a first date is a spinach salad because, number one, it's hard to eat, and number two, it gets stuck in your teeth.
What about soup?
Oh, I love soup.
Would you do soup on a date?
Oh, sure. Well, you don't slurp your soup.
I guess the question is, what will you do on the first date? What will you eat on the first date? Because this is like all the best food you can eat.
Yeah, well, I know, these are really good.
Let me read off one or more, two, and then we'll go there next. So another guy said wedding cake. Doesn't want to see that on his first date. And then Kentucky Joe says, in Kentucky Joe's eyes, the worst food is a hamburger which drools with grease. A romance can't get on the right foot.
Oh, yeah. If you've got juices down the side of your
face. Going out with Kentucky Joe, no hamburgers or cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Those are just a few. There's a bunch of great responses.
Yeah, I think it was very entertaining to see what everybody thought about that. But like Curtis just brought up, what a great point that he, as a man, hasn't given any thought to that.
I've never, ever thought about
it. And you wouldn't judge a woman for eating something slightly
maybe
messy.
If she was like a pig.
Table manners.
Yeah, but if you got a little sauce on your face or fingers, like that's part of what you're eating.
And I was going to say, it could give you a good excuse to reach over and lovingly remove that from there.
No, that is gross. Date. That's gross.
Remember, I don't touch, so hey, I'll hand you the napkin. Here you go.
Like I said, lovingly.
Here you go.
I know Tamara. Now, I've been with Tamara. Tamara just calls people out and says, look, you got slop all over your
because
she's,
I want to know.
You're more couth, but you tell people, you're like, I'm sorry, you have a booger hanging out of your nose
right
now.
That's what friends do.
Yes.
Well, but she'll do that to virtual strangers.
Well, no.
You're pretty couth. I mean,
I would say,
direct.
I just would want, I treat people how I would want to be treated. Yeah. I would want someone to tell me. Yeah. I would not. And I have gone, like, several places with something stuck in my teeth and no one has told me and I get home and I'm like,
you ask
all those
me every
people.
Time you eat, you're like, do I have anything in my teeth?
Yeah. So now, a quick trip to the bathroom.
Curtis, you said you don't care about what your date wears your date eats and you're not worried about, or you're not thinking, what am I going to eat? But do you concern yourself with what would I wear on my first date?
Clothes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I want to look nice.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, like I don't eat like a pig.
Okay.
Good.
This it bothers women a lot. And so think about it. Well, hopefully you never have a first date again.
But yeah.
Yeah. So scratch that.
Yeah, okay. That would be ideal.
Yeah. His girlfriend just said, thank goodness.
So Tamara, your food to refuse to eat is spinach salad on a date.
It's the spinach salad.
As much as I love pasta, that would just be a nightmare to have to eat spaghetti on a first date for me.
Yeah.
I could use wings. I mean, I could get around that, but spaghetti's hard to get around.
And because somebody had commented, I don't know if you saw this, somebody said, does anybody else eat wings with a fork? And so I responded with a little gif of a girl raising her hand because I was like, that's me. Like, I eat. But then we know people that can suck the whole thing.
Damn, that's sinful. Yeah.
I know. I do.
I would probably make on the first date maybe try to do it with a fork, but
peel it off.
If I'm around people I know, I'm just gonna
chow
to watch
down,
me.
Suck that bone dry.
I think I'm more likely to leave you if I see you do it with a fork. It's like, come on, so it's okay.
That's not your personality.
Right. Yeah. What was that Seinfeld episode where George was cutting
it
with
the hands?
It's the candy
Snickers bar.
Yeah, they're eating the candy.
Yes,
and they're like, why are you eating it with a fork and knife? He's like, this is how the cool.
It's
been a long time since I've seen it. But
I just like the one where Jerry goes to dinner, I guess, with this lady, and they have lobster or crab or something, and she's cracking it with her man hands.
Yes,
and he's just like, and then she rubs something off his lovingly off his face with that man hand. He's so disgusted.
Oh, Seinfeld's so good.
Well, like we said, barbecue ribs were on the list, but once you get past the whole awkward stage on your dating, you might want to impress your date with some good barbecue. Then you need to take them over to Shack in the Back, located in Fairdale, Kentucky. Oh. They have the most awesome barbecue west of Lexington, is it west of Lexington?
Yeah.
They're at? Okay.
It's south of Louisville. It's a suburb of Louisville.
I know we've been there, but you know, I never know if it's east, west, north.
Yeah.
With the best side dishes and the White Lightning barbecue sauce, which is your favorite, Tam.
It was so good.
The place is so good that Tamara ordered a second round of pickles, and you don't even like pickles.
I don't even like pickles, but theirs were fantastic.
They were so good. Yummy. And not to mention, you haven't stopped talking about their peanut butter pie.
If I could go and have some of that right now, I would. It would be worth the drive.
It was just amazing. So everyone else, you got to check them out, Shack in the Back, and tell them Kentucky Taste Buds sent you.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. Yes. Now, since we're talking about shrimp pimping in Kentucky, I love that. Poor Tamara's like just dying.
Shrimp pimping.
Shrimp pimping.
We're pushing the shrimp. The Kentucky shrimp.
Well, you know, when you came up with this idea, I thought, well, God, what else are we going to talk about? So yeah. I started to do a little research. And do you all realize we actually have live shrimp at Mammoth Cave?
I did not know this.
As opposed to dead, I guess. But
yeah.
We have, did you know this?
I didn't know there was shrimp in there. I knew there's like bugs and like crickets and stuff like
gross.
That.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of critters.
Well, here's the thing. The shrimp in Mammoth Cave are called Kentucky Cave shrimp.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And this is going to be hard for me to say. They're the Palamonius ganteri. Is that how you think
you'd
say that?
Oh, that sounds very Latin.
Yeah. And it's an endangered species. So this is a big deal. And the Kentucky Cave shrimp is a small crustacean that grows to a length of about 1.18 inches. It lacks eyes and has a translucent body. I saw it. It's gross looking. It looks like a plastic looking shrimp.
Yeah, with no eyes.
These features suggest the animal has long lived underground. It is one of the only two known species of this genus Palamonius and is one of only three existing species of its family found in North America and Mexico.
Wow.
This is crazy. Talk about shrimp pimping.
Yeah.
Now, the Kentucky cave shrimp only lives in underground streams. They typically inhabit large base level cave streams characterized by slow flow, an abundance of organic material, and all that good
that
stuff.
That means dirty stuff.
Yes, it's dirt and sediment. You're right. The crustacean feeds by grazing the surface of sediments in caves, consuming protozoans, algae cells, fungi, and dead babies.
Dead babies?
I was like, that's not what this paper says.
Y'all look like you're all bored out of your mind. So I just had to liven it up a little bit.
I was like, what? Did they print me out?
Oh, I just had to throw something funny in there.
Oh, that was good.
The Kentucky cave shrimp is found exclusively in Kentucky, which should be.
Of course.
Since it's Kentucky cave shrimp. And it has only been observed in underground streams in the surrounding Mammoth Cave Area National Park in central Kentucky. It's in the counties of Hart, Barron, and Edmondson. And last but not least, the main threats are this species are poor water quality and habitat deterioration resulting from groundwater contamination, dead babies, no, I'm just kidding, siltation caused by poor land use practices, basically pollutants when we're not treating our land properly.
Right.
So what do you all think about that?
Well, now I have a question. Can you eat these?
You know, I read
You'd
the whole thing.
Get in trouble.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's endangered.
Eating a bald eagle. Come on.
I can't do that. Eating a bald eagle. Yeah, I mean, but I thought the same thing. Like,
are they edible?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not.
I mean, everything's edible, right?
Edible, but like, no. You get in big trouble for eating it, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're only an inch big, so like, you know.
It wouldn't be good eating.
You have to eat like 100 of them to fill up.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. Yeah. If you saw these things,
But I do love the fact
that they need a suntan.
We have them here in Kentucky. And
yeah, I mean, I had no all this
place.
Time. Who knew?
Yeah.
I loved all this until it said that we hurt them by polluting and. Everybody stop polluting. That makes me sick.
Yeah.
So please stop.
Everything you put in your drains ends up in our water systems and
everything
waterways.
In your drains. Yeah.
Roundup, fertilizer, all that stuff does it too.
Yeah.
So it's all bad. It's
be
so
careful bad. What you put down your pipes, people.
Yeah. And growing up, I mean, we used to shove stuff down the drain. We didn't care.
I know.
We didn't know.
I know.
Now we're older and wiser.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, and if speaking of pipes, if you do stick something down your pipe and it gets lodged in there and you can't get it out, call our friends at Central Kentucky Plumbing. Are you okay, Curtis?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are we recording? Like, you look scared
to
me.
No, I just didn't want
to
laugh.
Oh, okay. No, feel free to laugh. Okay. It helps.
I mean, it helps us. Okay. It helps our self-esteem.
Yes. You're getting paid. Oh, you're not getting paid. I'm sorry. Central Kentucky Plumbing Solutions at 859-363-6418. They can handle any of your plumbing solutions. Or if you're building a new house and you need somebody to plumb it, give them a call.
Yes. Just watch out for the little shrimpies. All right. So moving right along, we're still talking about shrimp. And shrimp, of course, is seafood. And we've all agreed that we like shrimp. Do we all like all seafood?
I do everything except I'm not a huge fan of mussels.
I don't like oysters or mussels.
Yeah,
I
don't either.
Boogers, so I'm good on it.
Okay, yeah, I don't like that. And I don't like hush puppies.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's not really seafood. It's bread.
Oh.
It's just served at Long John Silver, so it's seafood, right?
So there's no sea. They're not from the sea.
No.
Don't pluck them out of the Well, what about tartar sauce? I don't like that either.
Yeah, I don't like tartar sauce either, but it's not from the sea.
Can we interview a hush puppy farmer next week?
Well, I didn't know if it was just bread. I didn't know if there's something seafood in there.
It's fried bread, and then you put things in it like...
you put something in
I've
it
never
to make
made
it.
Them, but I don't think there's any... You might be like put chunks of crab in it, maybe, if you're fancy, but it's mostly just bread.
Yeah, it's just
bread.
Like cornbread. It has onions in it, and...
Yeah.
All right. Stuff I don't like know that. Either.
It's yummy. I love a good hush puppy.
Well, anyways, I thought it'd be fun to talk about the best seafood restaurants in Kentucky. And I'm sure we're all going to have opinions on this. I found this from onlyinyourstate.com. And I want to see if we've been to these. Okay.
Okay.
So the first one is Charlie's Seafood. It's it on Winchester Road here in Lexington, Kentucky. It's been there since 1981. I've never been there.
You haven't had a fish sandwich from Charlie's Seafood?
Curtis hasn't either.
Okay,
I can't even picture where this is at.
It's right on the corner of Liberty Road.
Okay, I'm getting a visual in my head.
It's on the corner,
okay.
Winchester Road, and I mean they've been there forever, and they had the best fried fish sandwich in town.
Well, they're known to have, I mean, quote unquote, the best fish sandwich in Lexington.
Oh yeah, it's true.
And they offer fresh fish for sale. So I wonder if we can hook him up with Jason.
Yeah, maybe
shrimp.
He needs to sell his stuff there.
Yes, and they also have the greatest sandwiches, crab cakes, and supposedly hush puppies.
They do?
What? That's a weird name, hush puppy.
Yeah, we'll have to research. Yeah. Google
why,
that,
why
Curtis.
Why quiet and why a dog? You know, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, the 701 Fish House and Oyster Bar located in Elizabethtown. Never heard of this place either.
I haven't.
Have you, Curtis?
I've not eaten at that one, but I don't eat many seafood places in Kentucky.
Okay.
Landlocked kind of scares me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right. It's something you usually do on vacation.
Right.
But they're considered possibly the finest oysters on ice in Kentucky, complete with buttery side sauce, and the fish is flaky and yummy and all that good stuff. Mm. I'm getting hungry talking about all this.
I know. It sounds so good.
Number three, Harbor Restaurant. Seafood lovers will find the view at this specialty restaurant, which is a very breathtaking view, apparently, on in Nancy. Which is where I was just at.
Yeah. Have you eaten there?
No.
You didn't go there?
No. At
Lee's Ford Marina.
Resort Marina. Huh.
Yeah. I might have eaten there.
Okay.
Because I've been to Lee's Ford Marina and I always eat. So I might have eaten there.
Okay. And they have crusted potato cakes. God, that sounds so good. I'm so hungry, guys.
Crusted potato cakes.
Yes.
I'm going to intervene real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
The name for hush puppies, the name is often attributed to hunters, fishermen, or other cooks who would fry some basic cornmeal mixture and feed it to their dogs to hush the puppies during cookouts and fish fries.
Oh.
That is so interesting.
Fascinating.
You're a really good producer.
I try.
Yeah.
Yes.
Google's amazing. It makes me look really good.
It does.
Yeah, it does. And then number four, Jim's Seafood. Patrons will find delightful seafood and surf and turf dinners along with a view of the river because it's located in Frankfort. And I have been here when I lived in Frankfort.
I've been there.
And it's really good.
It
and they
is.
Have fried green tomatoes. Have you ever been there, Curtis?
No. I don't think I've been to any of these that you have here.
Okay.
Honestly.
All right.
But I will go.
Well, and this is what I love about doing what we do because, I mean, when do you ever sit around and think, what's a good seafood restaurant that I want to go to in Kentucky? Like you said, you really don't think. You think barbecue or...
Anything.
You know, something along that line.
Yeah.
Hot Brown. Knotty Pine at the Bayou is number five, and this is not your average seafood restaurant. It's in Cold Spring, but is instead a Cajun and Creole, is that how you say that?
Yeah,
Creole. Fare restaurant, which means you have fish, crawdads, scallops, oysters, sea bass. Now, Tamara, I saw a picture of you. You actually ate a crawdad's head off, right? Didn't you? Didn't you suck it out?
Oh, no. I did
not. Oh, you just posed with
it? I thought he was cute, and I held him up.
I couldn't even believe you could touch it.
That was at the Thoroughbred Club. They do an excellent crawfish and boil.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I can't do that.
But no, my friend Holly.
She was born and raised that way, right?
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah,
they know how to do it.
Yeah,
but I don't know where Cold Spring is. I was going to look that up. Cold Spring,
okay.
Kentucky.
All right. Number six, Cunningham's Creekside, the long-standing restaurant at River Road in Prospect, which is up there by Louisville, serves up some fresh, crispy fish fingers that are also tender, and they're so tender you don't have to chew them.
What do you do? It just swallow it whole?
Well, of course you should.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. There's the rest of the sentence. Of course you should, but it seems almost unnecessary. I guess it just melts in your mouth.
Okay.
And then they have pan-fried oysters that are also amazing. Again, we're not oysters people, but I'm a total fish person.
Yeah.
This is sounding so good. Did you find it?
Yes. It's in Campbell County, so northern Kentucky.
Okay.
Is where Cold Spring, Kentucky is.
And then 7, Captain's Quarter, the view of the river brings a lot of charm. See, most of these are on the river.
Of course.
And it has been around for decades at, again, in Prospect, serving up fantastic crab cake, shrimp, salmon, which you're a big salmon lover.
I eat salmon.
What's your favorite fish to eat?
It's hard. I love crab legs. I love
shrimp.
Oh,
yeah?
What about your favorite fish?
Oh,
I like tilapia, cod, mahi,
cod tuna. Or catfish. Like
good old catfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. And then 8, Palmer's Fresh Grill. It's at Lexington Green in Lexington, and they have shrimp and grits, which is probably the best in the state. And the worst thing about this wonderful restaurant is that their oyster, shrimp, and fish can really leave you at a loss for making a decision because it's all so good.
It is really good.
Now, we've eaten there several times.
It's there at Lexington Green, and you can go to, the weekend music. And
the ambiance is perfect.
Have dinner there. It's a win-win.
Yep. And then 9, Mike Lennig's, the seafood restaurant on Cane Run Road in Louisville, has been serving up fresh fish since the 1920s. And I think it looks like, it's closed during the winter months, but then it opens up when it gets spring. Am I reading that right?
Reopens each January 29th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then 10, Strickland Seafood. This is a must visit in Paducah. Has a glass top bar. That sounds cool.
It does.
With sand and shells underneath, which open into fresh air. And they have amazing crab, clams, shrimp, all that good stuff.
Yum.
And then 11 is Ketch, which is right here in Lexington. I've not been there. Have you guys been there?
I don't think I've even heard of it.
Oh, the Ketch is on Regency Road.
Yeah.
It's been there forever.
Yeah,
I've eaten there. It's good.
Yeah, it's been there since 2012.
Good hush puppies.
Yeah. So we'll have to go and check that one out since it's local.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well as all these others.
Yes.
Yes. Well, we're talking to all this shrimp and eating and, there's
visiting.
Nothing like a good cocktail or a glass of bourbon while you're eating seafood. And visiting distilleries is also something really fun to do in the summer if
Absolutely.
You're checking out some of these places. And one of our favorites is Wilderness Trail Distillery. They're definitely one of the best bourbons around. In addition to their wheated single barrel bourbon and rye whiskey, they recently released their small batch bourbon with small rye grain. And I have seen this all over.
Have you?
Yeah. This
like
release,
in the stores and stuff?
Yeah, and it's like in the top shelves behind where all the good stuff is. And they're
as
like, have you tried this one? And I'm like, I'm proud to say they're one of our sponsors.
Yes.
Of course I've tried it. It's so good. And they're having so many fun things to do this summer. They're going to start their music concerts in July. They just had their special edition release of their bourbon commemorating Center College's bicentennial birthday. And they also ship Kentucky or alcohol around the state now, so they can do that. So if you want to try them out and you haven't and you don't live by Danville, that's okay. Just go to their events page and see all their events and then give them a call and order their bourbon. Check them out at wildernesstraildistillery.com. Now, we're so excited for this next event. And so here we're going to preface this by saying, Curtis has been asking, can I do a little segment for you all and you all not know what it is? And we're like, okay, that's
sure.
great. It shows initiative. And depending on how well this goes or if it's a flop, we may or may not ever do it again. No, I'm just kidding. No pressure, Curtis.
Never ever again.
But we were trying to come up with a spiffy name of it. So we were thinking 5 minutes with Curtis, and maybe that doesn't sound too good.
It's not very spiffy.
No. So last week I had texted Curtis and I said, hey, Curtis, but I accidentally said, hey, cutie. And by accident, I mean, it was just like a typo. Yeah, it auto-corrected. And then he didn't respond there for a while. So I went back and looked at my text. I'm like, did it go through? And then I saw that I said, hey, cutie.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm sorry. Hey, Curtis.
Yeah.
And so he was like, ah, ha, ha. I was like, oh, my gosh, please don't think that I was calling you cutie. So now we're thinking about calling this segment 5 minutes with cutie.
Yeah.
5 minutes with cutie. And maybe 5 minutes with cutie batutie. I like that one a lot.
Maybe we can do a Twitter poll next week and see what's
better. See which
well,
one
are you on Twitter yet?
No.
That was
Curtis.
A homework assignment but 4 weeks ago.
I got us a new camera. That's my first homework assignment.
All right.
I'll have one by next week.
Okay.
I swear.
All right.
That's my,
okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we can't wait to see what this is about.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for letting me do this. The whole point of this is just to kind of get the girls out of their comfort zone.
Uh-oh.
And,
oh, Lord.
You know, and, well, you know, stuff that might be topics they like, but not used to talking about on the air. Not,
oh God,
you know,
I
part of our topic
like
here.
Idiots. No.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. Okay. Everyone, today we'll have a little contest between the ladies. I will read off quotes from five different bands from the 70s and 80s. You'll each have a piece of paper with a few seconds to write down your answer for each quote. Each quote can possibly have 2 points. You can earn a point for the artist's name and for the song name as well. Whoever has the most points at the end of the contest wins. Only I can see the answers and the quotes during this game, and the girls are playing blind. So good luck.
This is going to be horrible because I never remember anything.
Well, I made these very, very easy.
Are these multiple choice?
No. I'm going to say the quote 2 or 3 times.
And we have to come up with the
write
band.
Write down 1 through 5 on your paper.
Okay.
So I'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
And I'll even I'll go through them more than once.
Okay, good.
I'll give you a few seconds for each one.
Oh God, it's gonna be horrible.
This is like Jeopardy. It's gonna be Jeopardy.
And, if we keep doing it, we'll get better and add sound effects and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, that'd be fun.
We're just seeing how it works out today.
It's gonna be a lot of rah.
All right, ladies. I'm just gonna go through them all once, and then I'll give you a little break, and then I'm gonna do it all one more time.
Okay.
And then see what answers you have. Okay.
All right.
So, quote number one is, "I don't want to die. Sometimes I'd wish I'd never been born at all."
Oh, okay.
But don't say out loud because obviously you're competing.
You want the band.
You can get up to 2 points, the band and the song name.
What if I draw a picture of him because I can't remember his name?
They're all bands. There's no solo artists on this, so you have to.
No,
have the
I know,
band
but
name.
You want who said it in the band?
No. I just want the band.
Oh, okay. I got
that. That the song is in and the title.
Oh, and the title.
You have 2 points per song.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I'm move on to the second quote, okay?
Okay.
"Afternoon delight. Cocktails and moonlit nights. That dreamy look in your eye. Give me a tropical contact high." That's number two.
I know. I'll never think of the name of the band.
I'm going to keep moving on to number three.
Okay, go ahead.
God.
"Hey, pretty baby with the high heels on. You give me fever like I've never, ever known." Number four.
Hold on. We got to write our answers
I'm
going
to go back through them again.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I got you. Number four. "They say that the road ain't no place to start a family, but right down the line, it's been you and me." And the fifth one is, "On board, I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to carry on."
That one's not even ringing any bells with me.
Okay, so I'm going to read them off again. Give you a couple seconds for each one, and then I'm going to get your answers to see who has the most points.
Okay.
And I'll cut it up for you. So number one, again, is, "I don't want to die. I wish I'd sometimes never been born at all." Number two is, "Afternoon delight, cocktails and moonlit nights. That dreamy look in your eye, give me a tropical contact high." And of course, I'm not singing it or that'd totally give it away. Number three is, "Hey, pretty baby with the high heels on. You give me fever like I've never, ever known." Number four, "They say that the road ain't no place to start a family. Right down the line, it's been you and me." And number five, "On board, I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to carry on."
All right.
You have what you got written down?
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Number one, I'm going to go ahead and... Everybody good? She's trying to guess right here.
Okay. No, I know. I'm trying to sing out number three so I can get to the chorus, so I can get to the name of it. Because I can sing you the whole song.
Okay. Well, no more writing
be
down.
A half point.
Do I tell you the answer or you're going to tell us?
Because
I'll be like, oh, yeah, I got that. Yeah.
I'll tell you and you tell me if, or how about this? You tell me what you got.
Okay.
So I'll read the quote one more time for you. So number one, "I don't want to die. Sometimes wish I'd never been born at all."
I had nothing for
that's
that.
That's Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Dang.
You don't know that song?
It's like I'm sure I would if I was singing it or heard it.
All right.
Wish I'd never.
Yeah. Sometimes wish I'd never been born at all. Carry on.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, if you sing it.
Yeah. Oh, you'd get all these if I sang them.
Right.
So.
I don't know.
I didn't know.
I don't know about
maybe next time I'll get clips of sounds.
Yes.
Okay. Song. That
That'd be a very producer thing to do.
Number two is, "Afternoon delight, cocktails, moonlit nights. That dreamy look in your eye, give me a tropical contact high."
Okay, Tamara.
Said it was called "Afternoon delight."
That's what I said,
but I don't know who sang it.
"Afternoon delight."
That's not
not the song. No. Okay,
that is "Kokomo" by Beach Boys.
I wondered if it was
Aruba, Jamaica. Yeah. Ooh,
I just don't know how the.
And I could have done that line too, but that totally gives it away.
And you're wearing the shirt. That's very apropos for that.
Okay, so right now it's 2-0. So the third quote is, "Hey baby with the high heels on. Hey pretty baby with the high heels on. You give me fever like I've never ever known."
I want Tamara to read herself out. I just peeped.
I wrote down "Legs" by Van Halen.
No, that is incorrect. That's she's got.
It's
legs.
Michael Jackson. And it goes, and it's, "Oh pretty baby with the high heels on.
You give me fever like I've never, ever known." Yep. What song is it?
I can't. I couldn't get. I was trying to play it out.
All right. Well, it's "The Way You Make Me Feel."
The way you make me feel.
That's the best Michael Jackson song, in my opinion. That's why I picked that. Okay. Number four. I'll read it one more time for you. They say.
Oh, there's no need. We know this.
Yes.
Go ahead, Lee.
Yes. Journey. Faithfully. That's me and Stevie J's song.
Both got it right.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good song.
So that's easy to know.
Yeah.
And the last.
I got some points. Did you write down?
Yeah, I got you. 2 points right
here. Those are the only points I got.
You got two for me. the
right
only points you got.
Yeah.
It's like 5-2 right now.
Yeah.
And then the last one is,
I didn't get
aboard,
this one.
I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore. And I'll try, oh Lord, try to carry on. That is Styx, Come Sail Away. Come sail away.
Yeah, I know the song.
Oh.
I just.
Oh, I thought it was Captain and Tennille.
Okay. Well,
yeah. All right. Well, that was terrible.
I won.
Yeah, she wins this week. And well, maybe I'll try to have some prizes or something next time, like
that would be
a nice,
nice
candy bar or treat or something this month.
So.
A rocket pop?
We'll get better at
that. Okay, I liked
pop.
That.
I should have brought rocket
I liked
pops.
5 minutes with Cutie Patootie. That was good.
That's very a pending name. We'll see.
Pending.
It was very entertaining, for sure.
Yes.
All right, moving right along. This is something I'm very, very excited about. And this is coming up this coming weekend, June 6th through the 8th, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, L.V. Harkness. Curtis, have you heard of L.V. Harkness?
I don't think so.
Okay. So L.V. Harkness is a store here in Lexington. It's down right up from the Opera House. And they sell fine gifts and home accessories, personalized design service, as well as a bridal registry. So this is the place to go for very high-end objects for your home, for gifts, whatever. Okay. They're having their annual sale. So if you think, oh, I can't ever afford anything in there, this is the time you need to go and experience this place, because they're having 50 to 75% off clearance items. And then in addition, something they've never done before, and that's why they're calling it a sale with a twist, is they're doing 20% off all of their in-store merchandise, including their luxury brands.
Mm.
So Buccellata, Dom, Heron, Steuben, William Yeoward. This is like never been done before.
Because if you walked in the store, you're just like, ooh, ah, ooh. I mean, everything is magnificent.
It's just exquisite. It's just exquisite. So this is a great time to shop for all of those weddings that you're going to be going to this summer. Father's Day is right around the corner.
I think it's great for Father's Day because, to me, dads are the hardest. Men in general are the hardest to buy for. And they have so many unique, cool gifts for men, like a lot of bourbon stuff.
Oh, yeah. Barware, valet trays.
They had this really cool, what was that? Bear.
Yeah.
Like for like,
like
if
a
had
3 foot
cabin,
tall bear.
Yeah.
Like a stuffed, like a real one?
Like he looks like he's fishing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It looks like he's fishing.
He's a cutie little bear.
But it would just be so awesome for a cabin.
Oh,
and they've
had
it for years. So they're going to let it go.
Yeah. They're going to let it go. Yeah. And so, if you're on top of your game, and you would be shopping for Christmas.
That's what we've talked about. You and I had our eyes on a few things. In fact, we're buying ourselves something that we saw.
Yes. At a great price point.
Yeah,
we're really
for
excited about that. And so, Lee and I love a perfect pairing because we're the perfect pair. Right next door to them is Green Tree Antiques and Tea Room. And they're going to get in on the bandwagon. So they're going to offer 20 to 50% off their American and European antiques during this time. And so if you've never been to Green Tree, they have a beautiful tea room, delicious food. So it'd be a great time to grab your girlfriends and head on over there and hit that sale. It's, again, Thursday through Saturday. I think it's 10 to 5. I didn't write it down. 10 to 5 Thursday and Friday, and Saturday 10 to 6. And you and I will be there on Saturday.
Yes, we will. So come see us.
Yeah, so come see us. L.V. Harkness.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Now it's time for
Hot Butts of the Week.
Ah! Woo! We're going to start off with Jeff Wicker and Chef Renata. These are double buds.
Double buds.
So last Wednesday, Tamara and I decided to go out to dinner at Renata's Bistro and Bar. They're located right here in Lexington because they were having wine, women, and music.
Yeah.
And so they were playing gosh, I forgot her name.
Andy.
Andy. Gosh, thank you. Andy was playing and singing with Mr. Floyd,
yep.
who was accompanying her on piano, and they were just singing this very kind of jazzy, bluesy
music
that was just so wonderful. And the food was amazing. We had fried green tomatoes. I had pasta. Did you? You
had salmon special.
Yeah, I had salmon special. We had cannolis for dessert, and it was so fantastic. And Jeff, who I'd met before, he's part owner of the restaurant. He came up and he chatted with us for a long time. And by the time we got done with everything, he was like, "Girls, this meal's on me."
Oh.
And it was just so generous, so kind. We did not expect that, but the food was fabulous. So we just want to say thank you. And Tamara wrote a fantastic article about Chef Renata because she's been to a few places around here in Lexington, and everybody just follows wherever she goes.
Yeah.
So we call her the Little Pied Piper.
Yeah.
So check out that blog at kytastebuds.com.
All right, you want me to do this?
Yeah.
One? Okay,
the next
one.
You can carry us out.
Yeah, okay. So Kentucky underscore Jair at Jair8 Sexton Jair, I don't know. We posted a pic of our burger and fries and bourbon at Dry Whiskey in Louisville. And he retweeted and said, "These girls are always on point with great food and drinks." And yes, we are. And thank you for noticing. And we appreciate you retweeting that. And then last but not least, Nothing Bundt Cakes here in Lexington. Melanie Leach and her husband own this. They are so generous. When they found out that we had our second birthday, she's like, "Well, come in. I'm going to give you some free cake." So I made a beeline over there and knocked old ladies out of the way just so I could get in there and get my free buntinis. So she gave us 2 dozen, and we shared those with everybody when we came in to do our radio show. So
yes,
thanks,
so thank
Melanie.
Thank you. It's delicious.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, guys, that's it for this week's episode. To check out some of the things we talked about, make sure you visit our website at kytastebuds.com. And then follow us on all of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and Snapchat at the handle kytastebuds. And last but not least, check out Lee's amazing e-newsletter. And if you aren't subscribed, go to kytastebuds.com and click the subscribe button at the top of the page. You'll be in the know. And remember, listen to us every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 on KISS 96.9. Thanks, Curtis. Thanks, Lee. Have a great week, guys.
Bye, guys.
Have a great day.